Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine that I had access to some sort of miraculous medicine, okay? Something that would restore your body to its prime conditions. And then you would live forever. No side effects. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Sounds like something that we would really want. If I had a pill here, you'd be all over taking it. If I had some sort of like nasty cough syrup, you'd sort of get over the fact that it doesn't taste very good, and you'd drink it. You would want to find out the benefits of this miracle medicine. Are you ready for a secret? I have it. I do. Only it's not physical. It's not a pill. It's not a nasty cough syrup. But instead, this medicine is a medicine that will allow you to live forever. It will restore your body to perfection, and you will live forever. No side effects. But instead of something physical that you can take in your mouth, it's taken by your ear with words. Words strike your ear, and they give you life forever. They're words about Jesus. Words about how he is the Holy One of God. He is the Savior of the world, and he is your Savior. It's eternal medicine, and it will do you good. Now, here's the thing. Most of the time when a sermon like this gets preached, everybody goes, well, that's really hokey, Pastor. That's really cute, but that's not enough. And the truth is that if that's you, it means your faith is in need of strengthening. Because, my friends, the message of Jesus Christ is real. It's true, and it actually delivers what it says. And so when God's word promises that you will live forever, when God's word promises that your body will be restored to perfection, he means it. It's true. It will actually happen. But we have a hard time. We have a hard time when the medicine is just words. Why? Because words so often are not enough. We live in a world where we have to measure everything. We have to weigh everything. We have to count everything. And if there is no physical way for us to measure the benefit of it, we sort of throw it away as if it's less important. And so we're always looking for what can benefit us physically first and everything else second. Now, I don't want you to get confused here. The Lord does care about our physical well-being. That's what like the entire first half of the John chapter 6 is all about, right? Because he sends his disciples out and they do all these healing miracles. Jesus himself is doing healings. Then all of a sudden Jesus feeds 5,000 people, right? Then he does this thing where he shows that he can control the physical weather. He walks on the water and makes the storm stop. Jesus has done all sorts of physical benefit miracles. He cares about your physical well-being. But as we make it to this later portion of John chapter 6, he tells us that that's not as important as the sermon he preaches today. The most important thing to Jesus is your salvation, is that you can be in heaven for eternity. That is the most important thing. He cares. He cares about your body. But that's much less important than where you're going to spend eternity. And so as we find Jesus at the end of chapter 6, after all, he's done all of these miracles and all of these physical miracles that he's performed that people can observe and measure with their eyes, it attracts this giant following, right? And so we'd think that these people, their ears would be open, that they've seen all of these wonderful things that Jesus can do, and we think, well, they're going to listen to him, right? No. They don't listen to him at all. In his sermon, he preaches that he's the bread of life. He is the source of life itself, that God's grace is universal. It's for everybody. It means Jesus died for you and me and the whole world, that no one is refused. He teaches that God wants to give every single person faith, that believers can be certain of eternal life, and that there is this sort of weird, mystical union between Father and Son, and then God welcomes all of these people into this sort of union with them. It all sounds like good stuff. Why don't the people want to listen? He's already provided with physical blessings, and now he's giving them this medicine of eternal life, but the people don't want to hear it. They grumble against his teaching, and so Jesus speaks to them very matter-of-factly. Do you take offense at this? That's his question. Jesus isn't afraid to offend people with his words, with the truth. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus isn't surprised. He's known their unbelief all along. He knows that all the physical blessings in the world won't change them. It doesn't matter how many physical blessings Jesus gives them. It doesn't matter how many miracles they witness. He knows that those things will not create faith in somebody's heart. But what will? What does Jesus say gives spirit and life? His words. His words give spirit. His words give eternal life. But people still stop following him anyway. I think we need to be careful because sometimes we try to reduce Jesus to somebody who's going to give us some sort of physical benefit. That somehow, if life is good, it means God loves me. And if life is bad, it means that God has deserted me. My friends, it's not true. In fact, most of the time when people are converted, it's because their physical blessings get taken away. You know, when your health starts to fail and all of a sudden you realize that you need somebody to help you out, that you need God, or when you're on your deathbed and you can't really avoid the fact that you're gonna be taken somewhere, either heaven or hell, and you go, Lord, I need help. You know, or when someone loses, you know, everything in a horrible accident or a natural disaster or whatever it is, and what happens, but when physical blessings are taken away, most of the time, that brings people to their knees and brings them back to the cross. To the one who does care physically, certainly, but the one who's more concerned with eternal life. Now, on one hand, we really can't understand these people. I mean, we talked about everything that, you know, Jesus said in his sermon. He's the bread of life, right? He's the source of life itself. Faith is universal. You guys all believe this stuff already. And it's great. And so in some ways, we can't really comprehend what these people are thinking. Why would they turn away from Jesus? But on the other hand, we can identify exactly with those who stop following Jesus, with those who don't want the medicine, with those who don't want the word. And I'll give you a few examples. Maybe you've groaned on Sunday morning when your alarm clock went off because you didn't want to have to get up and go to church. Maybe you would have rather slept in than have to be in God's house. That was me this morning. The barbecue really took it out of me yesterday. But that's the whole thing, is what are we saying when that is our confession? When we wake up and we go, oh, I'd rather sleep in, or maybe, you know, heaven forbid, we actually do sleep in. We're saying that sleep, the physical blessing of sleep, is more important to us than God's word, than his promises, than the things that he delivers into our ears in this place. What about when you actually did come through the church? And then you looked at the altar, and we don't have it today, but you saw the Lord's Supper, you know, sitting under there underneath the white cloth, and you went, oh, service is going to be longer today. We're confessing that we would rather have the physical blessing of time rather than the blessings that God gives through word, that he combines to bread and wine to give us the very bread of life. If you've ever been, you know, sort of preconceiving some sins, and the Holy Spirit whispers in your mind and goes, don't do it. Don't give in. Don't sin. And what do? But you silence the Holy Spirit. And you go, it's going to be a whole lot more fun for me to do whatever you don't want me to do, God. And you do it anyway. You're showing that you're much more concerned about what you can get for yourself physically than what the Lord has in store for you through Jesus words. We can't comprehend why somebody would leave Jesus so outrightly, but yet we do it all the time. If we continually seek after the physical things of life alone, we will live for a lifetime and no more. But when the words hit your ears, when the medicine that God administers comes to you, you'll live for 1,000 lifetimes. Because you're going to be alive forever. God speaks his words to you. He promises that because you are baptized, because that water combined with the word has been poured over your head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, heaven has been opened to you. It is a reality both now and forever. Your sins have been washed away. Every time you regarded the physical things of this world as more important than God's word, guess what? Forgiveness is certain for you. Jesus has died for you. He has shed his blood for you. It's done. You're going to live for 1,000 lifetimes. Because as God's words come to you, you trust them. Same thing with the Lord's Supper. The true body and blood of Jesus Christ given, why? For the forgiveness of your sins. And as soon as you eat that holy meal, it's done. You're sustained, you are strengthened, you are forgiven. Jesus himself, his words coming right to you. The very bread of life. Because that's who Jesus is. He's one who gives out medicine. People who live in this world, and it's not a medicine that's going to heal you now, it's a medicine that's going to be lasting for you forever. But do we believe it? My friends, today the Lord gives you spirit and life. Not through a pill, not through some nasty cough syrup, but in words. Words that are real, words that are true, and words that deliver exactly what they say. As you live in the faith, believing that Jesus is the Holy One of God, may we all have the same confession as St. Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so he is. Your crucified and risen Savior is the Holy One for you, both now and into all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.